do you do with a horse when you're done with it? It's not just a theoretical question. For farmers and ranchers, it's a decision with real-life implications, practical and financial. Some horses are euthanized, some are reportedly abandoned, but around here they aren't slaughtered for their meat, and some are asking, why not? Good morning. This is Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. It's a big and growing issue, and today on the program, we're exploring the for and against of a domestic horse slaughter industry that some investors would like to see restart. Joining us to explore this is Sue Wallace. She's the U.S. Chair of the International Equine Business Association. She's a rancher and a state representative in Wyoming, and Representative Wallace joins us from her ranch just north of Recluse, Wyoming. Sue, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Representative Wallace favors making horse slaughter more accessible. On the other side of this issue is Wayne Pacelli. He's the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. He's joining us from his office in Washington. Welcome to you, sir.
Good morning.
I should note that both our guests spoke with our own Frank Morris for an in-depth report that aired this morning during KCUR's morning edition. You can hear that at kcur.org. Representative Wallace, let me start with you and with a basic question that I'm sure a lot of listeners would think right off the bat. How on earth could you send a horse to be slaughtered for its meat?
Well, horses are livestock. They have been traditionally and are classified that throughout our legal system. This country has always processed horses, even though the Humane Society of the United States has managed to stop that for the past 6 years, which has resulted in severe decreases in horse welfare itself, which was pointed out in a GAO study, as well as severely impacting the farm and ranching economy and the horse industry economy. Horses are still being sent to Canada and Mexico. The fact is that those plants in those two countries are mostly exporting U.S. horses to the billion people around the world who love and enjoy horse meat.
Okay, well, let me give Wayne Pacelli of the Humane Society a chance to respond. Mr. Pacelli, is the Humane Society opposed to all farming and ranching involving animals, or is there something uniquely offensive about horse slaughters?
No, we're certainly not opposed to farming and ranching, but horses are not raised for food. Cattle and pigs and chickens are, and wherever we as individuals are on that question, it's been happening for a long time. These are major industries in the United States, and people consume those products. 95% of Americans consume those animal products. Americans do not consume horses. I would class them more toward the pet side of the equation, if you will. Ms. Wallace indicated their livestock. Most people don't think of them as livestock. They think of them as companions. There are horses used for certain working purposes. Obviously, they're in the racing industry. They're in the showing industry. There are lots of different purposes that horses are used, but they're not used for food. That means they're opportunistically collected up. They're often sold at auctions and purchased by what we call killer buyers. Many of the people who sell their horses have no idea that they're selling them off to slaughter. And the animals are put in trucks, typically cattle trucks, that are not tall enough for them. They travel long distances to Canada and Mexico. And we've documented the conditions in the slaughter plants. We've documented the transportation. It's typically inhumane. And Americans typically don't want any part of it. Ms. Wallace and other horse slaughter proponents have been trying to open up plants in the United States. They're tied to the plants in Canada and Mexico. Certainly by blocking federal legislation to stop the live export of horses to Canada and Mexico. And we think it's a bloody, predatory industry, and we don't want it to start up in the U.S.
Okay, so the reason we're talking about this today and in recent months is that the U.S. Department of Agriculture granted inspection permits for horse slaughter plants in New Mexico and Iowa and Missouri just because funding was restored back in 2011 after many years when there was no funding for such permits to be issued. Those plans are now on hold thanks to court rulings that that the Humane Society sought. But this is a pressing issue, including with implications for here in Missouri. Representative Wallace, do you have any idea how many horses we're talking about? How big an implication is this? How many thousands of horses would be candidates for these slaughterhouses?
Approximately. Well, I will tell you that last year, 170,000 head of horses were shipped to Canada and Mexico and processed in those countries. Those are, and for probably the last 20 years prior to 2007, we processed in this country between 120 and 150, 170,000 head of horses a year, with a couple of anomalies, which were during times of economic distress, the 80s, when the economy goes down, of course, horses are a luxury item for many people. So when you lose your home, you lose your job. The first thing you do is sell the horses. And so for 1 year there, when horse prices were particularly high, we processed, I think it was 360,000 head of horses.
And what horses are we talking about? Are these retired racehorses? Are these horses that worked on farms?
Typically not, although there could be a few of them in the food system. In the old rural agricultural tradition, which is very ancient, animals were used for whatever purpose. So cows were used for milk, hens for laying eggs, sheep for their wool, whatever, and when they were less productive, horses for work, of course, when their useful life and for their primary purpose was ended, then those animals were used as meat animals. And horses still fall within that style. The other style, of course, was created to supply the elite, and that meant breeding animals specifically for the purpose and keeping them confined so they don't exercise, keeps the meat tender, feeding them well, and butchering them very young. That's the standard system that people know of today.
So, Wayne Pacelli with the Humane Society, you actually went to court to stop these permits that had been issued from taking effect. There was a restraining order issued. What's the legal argument against allowing the slaughter of horses in the United States?
Well, the narrow legal argument that was brandished in federal court, and the judge favored our position, was that these plants, and specifically the USDA, did not do the proper environmental review. Typically, horses are injected or fed substances that are unfit for human consumption. They're given Butte, which is an anti-inflammatory. We have a list of 129 different substances that are unfit for human consumption that are given to horses. These substances may leach into the ground. There are other environmental issues aggregating that number of horses at a slaughter plant. What do you do with the waste? So there wasn't proper environmental review under the National Environmental Protection Act, and that's what the court is taking a look at. More broadly, of course, our arguments run to our cultural affinity for horses, the incredible historical role that horses had in the settlement and expansion of our country, the fact that they're not raised for this purpose. You know, we have unwanted dogs and cats in our society. Of course, you've got great organizations like the Great Plains SPCA and the Kansas City area Wayside Waifs. These organizations exist to deal with animals that people don't responsibly handle or that people occasionally have bad circumstances in their lives and they need to turn animals over. They deal with those animals by creating a social safety net. There's a humane, you know, network in this country of horse sanctuaries and horse rescues, and they're doing life-saving work for horses. We at the Humane Society of the United States run the two largest horse sanctuaries in the country. But having said that, we ask people to be responsible. You know, when you're done with an animal, you don't just send them to slaughter. We don't set up dog and cat slaughter plants and then find some export market for those products. We care for these animals. We have responsibilities to them. And Ms. Wallace and the others basically treat horses as a throwaway and a potential economic commodity. We don't view them that way.
So, Sue Wallace, you are a rancher. You work with an international organization that promotes business involving horses. You mentioned a moment ago that 170,000 head of horses are shipped to Mexico and Canada each year already. I guess my question is, why not just send them there? Why does this have to happen domestically?
Well, because they have to travel thousands of miles in trucks, which are not cattle trucks, by the way, because horses bound for slaughter are, in fact, the only livestock regulated by the federal government in the United States of America. And they are regulated under the USDA APHIS slaughter horse transport program, which requires that they be transported in single-deck trucks, and that they there's a whole laundry list of reasons why they should not be transported. So, first thing, because of the long transport time. Secondly, and more importantly, is the fact that in the United States, they are under the jurisdiction of the United States Humane Methods of Slaughter laws under USDA inspection. Here's the difference. Wayne says that if you have a horse that you can't keep, like say you are a Indian tribe which has 20,000 excess feral horses on your lands, which are is happening today, and no solution to remove those horses from those lands. Wayne says you either need to have a vet come out and initiate lethal drugs at several hundred dollars per horse and then deal with the 1,200 pounds of toxic waste, or you should simply go out and shoot them in the head. Well, guess what? That's exactly what we do in a horse slaughter facility, except that we do it under controlled circumstances in a facility that is designed for the purpose, operated by trained and experienced personnel who know exactly what they are doing, under the watchful eyes of federal inspectors who are mandated to enforce the U.S. Humane Methods of Slaughter laws, which is the highest standard in the world, requiring that every animal being slaughtered is handled with a minimum of stress and stunned with a single shot that causes instantaneous unconsciousness.
So
there is absolutely no pain or agony.
Okay.
His solution, let me finish. His solution.
Brian, this is.
His solution sends an amateur with a gun out into a pasture to try and shoot a head horse in the head with tears in their eyes while they're moving around.
Okay.
Which is more humane?
Representative Wallace, let me invite Wayne Pacelli of the Humane Society to respond. Sir, I mean, she makes the point that there is a certain inhumanity in the current system of horses being shipped to cross the border to Canada or Mexico. Why wouldn't a domestic slaughterhouse actually be more humane? Representative Wallace makes the argument that they are killed in a humane way.
Yeah, Brian, this is very important. We are not happy with the live export of horses to Canada and Mexico. And Ms. Wallace cries crocodile tears about the long-distance transport of the animals. But there's one reason that is not stopped. It's because Ms. Wallace and her allies in the Belgian-owned horse slaughter industry and other sectors of the livestock industry are blocking the federal legislation in Congress, the SAFE Act, right now, that would ban the live export of these animals. The Humane Society, horse protection groups all across the country are backing it. It's got great bipartisan support, but a certain sector of the horse slaughter industry plus certain sectors of the livestock industry are blocking it. So I find the whole argument from her completely disingenuous. We do have end-of-life decisions to make with horses, and please, I want your listeners to know that we're not saying that animals can live indefinitely. They cannot. But when a person decides they cannot have a horse anymore, and we hope, of course, that people who do acquire an animal make a lifetime commitment to that animal, that's what we do with dogs and cats and so many other animals in our lives, that they make the most responsible choice. If they can't care for them, they can try to provide the animal to a sanctuary or a rescue group. They can humanely euthanize the animals, and it's much more humane to euthanize the animal on the spot than to transport the animals 200 miles, 500 miles, 1,000 miles. We're not talking about a lot of plants being set up in the United States, maybe two or three at most. That means long-distance transport for those animals. We're saying people should make responsible choices. Americans do not view horses as meat animals. They've never been raised for that purpose. They are unfit for human consumption because they have all sorts of substances
routinely administered
to them that make them unfit for human consumption.
You've heard some perspectives from our two guests. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. We're talking about horse slaughter plants and the possibility of them reopening in the United States. My guests are Wayne Pacelli of the Humane Society of the United States and Sue Wallace of the International Equine Business Association. We want you to join the conversation. Horses more in the category of cats and dogs or chickens, cows, and pigs? Should horse slaughter plants be allowed and inspected and permitted just like other livestock facilities in the United States? Let us know your thoughts at 816-235-2888 or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. That's 816-235-2888. You can also tweet at us, at KCURCST. For some perspectives, KCUR's Frank Morris visited the Hilltop Saddle Club Rodeo, which was here in Kansas City last week. He gathered some perspectives from people around the region. People who deal with horses all the time have a wide range of views.
Charlie McKellum, Surratt down the road in Raymore, Missouri, your pro rodeo announcer here this weekend. It's my pleasure to welcome you here to the 23rd annual Hilltop Saddle Club Rodeo, right here at the historic Benjamin Road.
I don't think if you got a horse and you can't take care of him, you shouldn't have him. That's what I feel. That's my personal opinion. I got 18 of them, so I wouldn't kill none of mine. I'm Bob. Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, they're like my kids. My horses are like my kids. So I'm kind of on the fence about it, but I know it's good because there are a lot of horses that are starving, neglected, people can't take care of. On the other hand, I don't like to see that happen to any horse. So. Joyce Swearingen.
B&B.
What's up,
B&B? How you doing, B&B?
In a lot of respects, it's a necessary evil. There's a lot of horses that are in bad shape due to age, injury, and so forth. Anthony Arnold. I have Twin City Riders. Yeah.
They're animals just like raising beef or anything else. I don't see an issue with it. I mean, it's not. We got a lot of horses that are sitting out there that nobody's using that are taking up valuable feed and valuable pasture. I mean, what's more humane? Using them for good or putting them in a mass grave when they starve to death on somebody's place.
First off, what's your name?
Kit Gillihan.
6 is the time we're looking to beat. Now, Clinton Hubbard, this is a cowboy that's no stranger to the pay window. He's been a champion steer wrestler.
Yes!
That's what we're looking for. Fine, oh no, I got some bad news. Bad news. Clinton Hubbard didn't let that steer move quite far enough out there tonight. Going to be a 10-second penalty on the time. Going to be 15 and...
Those are participants from the Hilltop Saddle Club Rodeo from last week. It was here in Kansas City. Hilltop Saddle Club, by the way, is the oldest African-American saddle club in America. You can hear more of Frank Morris's report on KCUR.org. We're talking about the possibility of horse slaughterhouses reopening in the United States. We've had reaction on the KCUR website. There's Lance's perspective. He says this is a matter of simple choice, be it beef, pork, poultry, or horse. The processing industry all have the same inspections, guidelines, and safeguards. We should put the products on domestic and world grocery shelves and allow the consumers to make informed, real choices for themselves. But then there's Christina, who wrote to us on Twitter, said the fear with making the horse industry profitable is that it won't just be horses whose useful life is ended. It will become an industry like beef. People don't want to see horses subjected to the same kinds of horrific treatment as cattle, pigs, and so on in factory farms. What's your perspective? 816-235-2888. Let's talk to Tom in Bates County. Tom, welcome to Central Standard.
Thanks. Good morning. Last time I had to have a horse put down, I've been a horse owner for over 40 years for pleasure riding. Had a horse with a bad coffin bone, had to be euthanized. Between having the vet come out, having to have someone come out to dig the hole to bury the horse, everything else, it cost me over $1,000. When the horse slaughter operations were in business, I would have been paid $50 for that horse. So the financial consideration for a horse owner is a factor here also. And I'll take my response to that comment off the air. Thank you.
Tom, thanks for your call. What do you say to someone like Tom, Wayne Pacelli of the Humane Society of the United States? He's a small business owner, essentially. $1,000 is a lot to euthanize a horse.
Sure. Well, I think anyone who gets into the business of owning horses has to know it comes with expenses. There are boarding costs. There are feed costs. There are end-of-life decisions, such as disposal of a carcass. I mean, we don't get a dog and think, okay, you get a dog and you're going to have zero costs. You've got to look at the long-term costs. Medical care is one of those costs. This is the responsibility that comes with animal ownership. And the fact that you can profit from you know, once you're done with the animal, you're tired of the animal, then you can make some money rather than spending some money to responsibly handle the situation. The same issues could be used for dogs. You know, one of the people in the Hilltop Rodeo piece that you just played said, you know, let the market decide. Let's find, do we want to find some market in Asia or some other far-off part of the world where people want to eat dogs, and we're going to have people collecting dogs off the street and then sell them at auction, set up a slaughter plant in Missouri or Illinois or Indiana, and then ship that meat? No, this is not part of our culture. It's not part of our history. And these animals deserve better.
Sue Wallace, you're a rancher yourself. First of all, just was Tom right? Is it about $50? Do you think that's the going rate?
No, it's far more than that. When the plants were open and running, you could expect to get anywhere from 80 cents to a dollar a pound. So you're talking $800 to $1,000 for any horse.
It's about profit, Brian. That's exactly what it's about.
Go ahead and let her.
People want to make profit.
Hang on a second.
Well, let me just say this straight up. The acting assistant U.S. Attorney General probably said it best, Robert Dreher, in his filing. He said that the Humane Society of the United States are making accusations that are unfounded and untrue and easily refuted. Every single one of these things that he has brought up today are unfounded, untrue, easily refuted. And that he's just
nothing easily refuted.
Mr. Pacelli,
let
Sue finish here. Go ahead.
Anyway, he continues to attack the motivations and integrity of not only the United States government, but the America's farmers and ranchers and
the Obama administration opposes opening more slaughter plants.
Cultural traditions of Americans.
Sue, you said we're attacking the government. The Obama administration in its 2014 budget proposal opposes slaughter.
Sue and Wayne, it's hard for our listeners to hear when you're both talking, so I'm going to go ahead and take a caller. Julie in Tonganoxie is joining us. Welcome to Central Standard.
What a perfect segue into my comment. This is all being drummed up into a huge emotional issue. Horses have always been an emotional issue in this country. And so the Humane Society and all the PETA people all need to have 3 or 4 of these unwanted horses in their backyard in suburbia and be responsible for caring for them. Because I've been a breeder of horses for many years. God, I'm 65 now. And I've got 13 head on the post right now, including a 28-year-old world champion mare. But the whole thing is, the slaughter plant, or the processing, shall we say, plant, is for also zoos need this meat. It's not a human consumption. It's strictly a financial thing. There's no floor under the horse market. You can't give them. I've been to a sale in Nebraska where they were giving away horses. So we've got to get these processing plants reestablished, and it's got to be on a basis of the issue, not emotion.
Yeah.
Brian,
let me just...
Thanks for the call, Julie.
This is such a false framing of the issue. You know, we have, as Sue Wallace indicated, we had 160,000 horses going to slaughter. We have American horses going to slaughter now. So folks who are crying, again, crocodile tears about horses starving and such, that's happening in the presence of a robust horse slaughter market. So we're only talking about where it's going to happen at this point, or we're going to pass the federal bill that Sue Wallace says that's going to say, no, American horses should not be destined for commercial slaughter plant. This is not an issue of killing horses. This is an issue of creating a commercial incentive for a small number of people to profit by taking perfectly healthy horses. They don't want the starving horses. They don't want the sick horses. And, of course, starvation, if anyone is starving a horse, is a crime. It's a state crime. So contrasting horse slaughter with starvation is contrasting essentially two criminal activities in the United States.
Julie, appreciate the call. Sue Wallace, one of the questions that often comes up in this conversation is about the presence of horses running wild in the American West. Tell us what's going on with that. Is it your understanding that unwanted horses are sometimes dumped off? What's that part of the argument?
Well, absolutely. We have lots of open range in the West. Some of it is BLM, Bureau of Land Management land, which federally protected wild horses run on, and the federal government is required to manage those horse herds and keep them in appropriate balance so that the ecology is protected, and that is a failed program. But unmanaged horses anywhere will double in population every 4 or 5 years, and the Indian tribes in particular, who do not have the luxury of calling on the U.S. taxpayer to help them solve their problem, have an unsustainable, horrific environmental degradation going on because they lost their ability to manage their land resources when the horse plants were closed.
And
so they are now faced with a huge overpopulation that is probably permanently destroying their land and resources.
But, Brian, this makes no sense. It makes no sense because Sue told us that 160,000 horses, roughly the same number of horses, were slaughtered last year as were slaughtered 5 years ago, 6 years ago or 10 years ago when U.S. slaughter plants were operating. How does this make logical sense? But Sue is saying, okay,
there
are people abandoning horses. Sue, let me finish, and then you can answer.
Just go ahead, Wayne.
How does this make logical sense when we have American horses going to Manitoba, going to Juarez, Mexico, going to plants over the borders? Those horses are being sold at auctions in the United States. The Native Americans, the limited number of Native Americans who want to slaughter horses, have all of those options available to them now. The whole thing is an issue of folks wanting to profit, and they're trying to manufacture some interest in the welfare of the horses when Sue Wallace and others have no interest in the welfare of the horses. Go to the Humane Society of the United States rescue facilities. We deal with starvation cases. We deal with the dark side of humanity when they're mistreating horses. Sue Wallace isn't doing that.
But Wayne, I guess I want to push back just a little bit. I mean, there does seem to be some part of your argument that just says we should think of horses more the way we think of pets because that's what Americans do. But obviously, in parts of the world, horses are seen as food. Why does it just come down to a matter of taste, or is there a higher moral argument you're making? Why should horses be treated differently than livestock? I guess that's the key question.
Well, I think looking at our American culture and our history, we've not treated them as food animals throughout our history. And we don't treat dogs. I mean, again, it's not just an issue of complete opportunism in the world. And if you have a person who's not making a responsible choice, well, then we're going to take that animal off your hand. Actually, you're going to profit, you know, by then selling the animal to a slaughter plant. We don't slaughter dogs. We don't slaughter cats. There are people in the world who eat them. There are millions of dogs and cats consumed in other parts of the world, but we're not setting up slaughter plants. We have a network of animal care agencies and humane societies and SPCAs, and we also admonish people to live up to their responsibilities, to spay and neuter, to provide lifetime care, vet care. And we tell anyone that when we're promoting adoption, that there are costs associated with having an animal. You don't just discard the animal when you're tired of it.
And, Sue, I want to ask you one more question. Obviously, right now, the permitting process is on hold thanks to a restraining order. What are the next steps for ranchers like you from the International Equine Business Association? What's next in this conversation?
Well, we're looking forward to getting to that court where the actual facts are presented, which are clear, and then we will prevail. But let me say this. Wayne keeps saying that we don't eat horses in America, and I would say that that is absolutely false. We have multiple ethnic communities in this country. Some, like the Tongans, absolutely prize horse meat. It is traditional in their culture. They want it for their weddings and their funerals and their special occasions. They are eagerly awaiting this. There's 13,000 of them in Salt Lake City alone. With all the Italians and the Japanese and the Chinese and the Russians, Mexicans in this country that eat horse meat, there is a very large market for horse meat in this country.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Sue.
Arrogant.
I appreciate it. I appreciate your perspective. I appreciate you joining us. Sue Wallace is the U.S. Chair of the International Equine Business Association. She's a state representative in Wyoming and a rancher. Sue, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And Wayne Pacelli is the President and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. He joined us from Washington. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brian.
When we come back, we'll look at Islamic art. What makes art Islamic exactly? And how does a new exhibit at the Nelson bring the ancient and the contemporary together? We'll talk with a curator and also an artist when we come back. I'm Brian Ellison. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR.